For Daf Pei Aleph, let's begin again on Pei Amid Beis with the Mishnah. The Mishnah taught, Shemeres Yavam Shanaflo Nechasim, if a woman is waiting for Yibum, and while she's waiting for Yibum, money comes into her domain, relative of her dies, she inherits him. So Modim Beshamu Besilu, Beshamu Besilu argued about an Arusa, they both agree, Shemocheres Venosenes Vekayim, she can sell or hand it away, and whatever she does took effect. Mesa, what happened if she died? Mayasu b'ksubasa, who deserves the money of her ksuba, namely the dowry that was written into the ksuba, the nichsei tzon barzel, or the nechasim nechnasim ayotzim ima, what happens with the nichsei melog that is not written into the ksuba? Be'sham yomim yachalku yorshe habalim yorshe av. Besham, I say that the Yorshe Habal, namely the Yavam, and the Yorshe Av, those who would inherit her, those who are taking the place of her father, divide the property. Rashi explains that they mean they divide the Nichsei Melog, but in terms of the ksuba, the Yorshe Av don't have a right to that. That goes exclusively to the Yorshe Abal. Besilu, when Besilu say, Nechasa Mecheskasa, we wouldn't take the Nichsei Melog and divide it. Rather, we look at where the property actually is. And wherever the property is, that's who it belongs to. And therefore, Nichsei Tzon Barzel are in their chazaka. Ksuba b'cheskas Yorshe Abal, the ksuba itself, that stays with the Yavam, because it had been the possession of the husband, now the husband is dead. Nechasam ha'nechasam ha'yotzim ima, the nichsim alog, b'cheskas Yorshe Av. There, the goof of the nechasam would always belong to her. So now that she's dead, it belongs to those who inherit her, her father's family. Hiniach achiv maos. Let's say when she's a shomeres yavam, her husband had left cash. So the Tana of this Mishnah holds, like Rabbi Meir, that even cash has a shibud, has a lean on it towards the ksuba. So if he left cash, yilakach ben karka, the yavam can use the ma'os, the money, the coins, to buy land, which is now going to have a lean on it, but he'll be entitled to the peros. Hu ochel peros, he can eat the fruit that comes off of the land, but the land is there in order to pay the ksuba. Peros hatlushim min hakarka, if the mace had left fruits already detached from the ground, also yulakach ben karka, they should be used to buy land, for who and the yavam ochel peiros can eat the fruit that grows from this land. Hamachubarim bakarka, if they left fruits that are already attached to the ground, Amun Rabbi Meir said, that are still attached to the ground, Rabbi Meir said, shamano san kamahin yafin bepeiros, we look at the land, how much it's worth with the fruits. The kamahin yafin below Paris, how much are they worth without the fruits? The amosa, and that difference, yilakach ben karka, is used to buy land. Hu ochel peiros, he can eat the fruits of that land, but the fruit itself, the land itself, is there to guarantee her ksuba. Chachamim, but the sages say, Paris amachubarim bakarka, if what the husband left was fruits attached to the ground, shelo, that belongs to the yavam, as is, he doesn't have to turn it into land and only get the fruits off of that land. Haklushim in akarka, if the mace had left fruits that are detached from the ground, kolakodem zacha behen, whoever comes first gets them. So Rashi explains, because they hold that metaltli l'ksuba lo mishtabdi, metaltli and are not meshuba to the ksuba unless she grabs them. And therefore, it depends whose toe face these peros. And they would also argue on the din of Heniach Ma'os. Kadam hu zacha. If he's the first one to grab it, so he has it. Kadmahi. If she's the first one to grab it, yilakach ben karka. They should be used then to buy land. Vuochel peiros, and he can get the fruits off of that land, but the land itself is available for a lien. Kansa. Once a yavam marries his yavama, harei ki ishto l'chol davar, she is his wife in regards to all matters. Bavad, with one exception, shtei ksubas sal michsei ba'al harishon, the ksuba is paid out from the possessions of her first husband. And now another halacha, once he's married to her, there's a lien on all of the possessions that he inherited from his brother, that the yavam inherited from the brother. The yavam shouldn't say, loyomer l'arik ksubasich monachas al ha'shulchan. Here's your ksuba on the table. In other words, I'm taking possessions that I inherited from your first husband, from my brother. I'm putting them on the table. That's there for your ksuba, and therefore whatever else is around, I'm going to be able to sell. But rather, all the nechasim of the brother are responsible for the ksuba. A husband himself shouldn't tell his wife, your ksuba is based on these possessions on the table. All of his possessions are responsible to pay her ksuba. Gersha, however, if he divorces her, then ein la ela ksuba. Then all she gets is the ksuba, and he can now sell the other possessions. And Ichzira, another halacha, if a person remarries a woman that he divorced, so if he remarries his yavama, she's treated like all women who get divorced and are then remarried, where the amount of the ksuba is what it was originally. It's recreated. She's like all those women. But also, now that she's been remarried, she has a lien on the property, but now he can sell the possessions in excess of the 200 zuz for her ksuba. Says the Gemara, Bailu, they had a question in the yeshiva. Shemeres Yavam Shemesa, if a woman is waiting for Yibam and she dies, Mikovra, who's responsible to bury her? Yorshe Abal Kavila, do we say that the Yavam, has to bury her to Koyarsi Ksuba because he's getting the Ksuba, he's getting the money that his brother would have had to pay out on the occasion of the brother's death, and the Ksuba monies, so therefore he buries her. Dilma Yarshav Kavilar, maybe her father and those who would inherit her from her family have to bury her to Koyarsi Nechasim Anachnasim Ayotzinimu because they're the ones who inherit the Nechse Malok. Amram answered, Tashma, come in here. Titanium, Mundin, Abraisa, Shomeres, Yavam, Shemesa, for Yavama dies, your Sheha, those who inherit her, who are your Sheikh Subasa, those who would inherit her Ksuba, namely her Yavam, Chayav Mikfuras, are the ones who are obligated to bury her. Amrabaya, said, Afanan, Nami Tanina, we also learned this in a Raisa, Almana, actually, we learned it in a Mishnah. Almana nizonas minichse yisomim. A widow gets her livelihood, her food, from the possessions of her deceased husband that now belong to the orphans. Umaisi adashalahed. Same way, when she gets food from her husband, in return, she has to hand over her wages or whatever she produces to their husband. So now her maisi adayim belong to the orphans. Ein chayav mikfurasa, but the orphans are not obligated to bury her if she dies. Yorsheha, those who would inherit her, namely Yorshe Ksubasa, those who inherit her Ksuba, Chayav Mikfurasa, they are the ones who have to bury her. So this Lashon, Yorsheha, Yorshe Ksubasa, implies that there are two possible inheritors. So Yizui Almana Sheish Lashne Yorshin, who is an Almana who has two people inheriting? Heviomer Zushomeres Yava. There is an added term in the Braisa. The Braisa said, Yorsheha Yorshe Ksubasa, those who inherit her, who inherit her Ksuba. So that implies it's referring to a Shomeres Yavam, as two people inheriting her. The family of her father, who's inheriting her Nechse Malok, and her Yavam, who's inheriting her Ksuba. And it's saying the one who inherits her Ksuba is the one who has to bury her. Amar Rava. Rava said, why would the Yavam have to bury her? Because he inherits her ksuba. Philema, why can't you say, Achani Yoresh, I'm inheriting my brother. Ishtoin any kover. I don't have anything really to do with his wife yet. I never married her. She was only a Shomeres Yavam. Why should I have to bury her? Amli Abaye, Abaye responded, Mishum Duban, all of Mishneit Stadim. We approach him with a claim of Mimanevshach. Imachiv Yoresh, if you're saying you take the place of the brother, so if you took the place of your deceased brother, then you're married to this lady. And one of the obligations of marriage is to bury your wife. Yikvaras Ishto, he should bury his wife. Im eno kovaras Ishto, if he's saying, no, but she's not my wife, I don't need to bury her. So then, you're not your brother. Yitein ksubasa, let the ksuba be paid out to her family. Amale, Sarava said, Achikamin, this is what I'm saying that the Yavam should be able to claim. Ah, ani yoresh, I am inheriting the my brother. I'm inheriting my brother. Es ishto eneni kover. But I shouldn't have to bury her. V'i mishum ksuba. If you're going to say that well, then I should be paying the ksuba. Lo nitna ksuva li gavos mechayim. The lashon of the ksuba is imti nasi la'acher. If you marry someone else, tipli mashakas of lechi. You should take what's written for you. When a husband's alive, she can't marry anybody else. So this is called medrash ksuba. So the Yavam says, I'm alive. My brother had been alive. The ksuba was never nitna ligavos. So you're saying misvara. Well, if you're not obligated to bury, so then you should have to give out the ksuba. Right? If you're not the husband, so you should give her the ksuba because she doesn't have a husband. Not really, because the ksuba is paid based on the lashonos, based on the terminology in the ksuba. And here, the terminology isn't yet fitting. The terminology says once you marry somebody else. But here, when the husband was alive, there was no possibility of marrying somebody else. So I see here in the footnotes of the Masifta Gemara, the Ritva asks that even though the ksuba is really not collectible when the husband's alive, when the yavam's alive, but if the yavam is taking the place of the husband, a husband has to bury his wife if she dies, even though there was no chiyuvei ksuba. So he answered like this. A husband has to bury a wife even though there's no chiyuv ksuba based on a din d'rabbanan, a takana that Chachamim made. The Yavam, though, would have to bury the Yavama because of the possessions. So if he marries the Yavama, he'd have to bury her because he gets possessions. But here, he got possessions before the Shibud of Chiyuv Kvura took effect. Therefore, he doesn't have to bury her. So basically, it seems like the Gemara is backtracking from this Mamanavshach. And the Gemara is saying that no, you know, it should be, Rava says to Abaye, it should be possible for the Yavam to claim, I get the money, but I'm getting the money not from her, I'm getting the money from him. So therefore, now that she's dead, I shouldn't have to be the one to pay for her burial. So Abaye said back to Rava, even according to this latest Svara, you should be moda that the Yavam should bury her, because man shamat le d'isle medrash ksuba, who's the one who says that we take the words of the ksuba very seriously? That's the view of Beis Shammai. You're saying, according to Beis Shammai, since the husband was alive and the Yavam was alive, the ksuba was never triggered, and therefore the Yavam doesn't have to pay the ksuba. So if you hold of the sheet of Beis Shammai, Shaminu Leila Beis Shammai, we know that Beis Shammai have the opinion that Ami Shtar Omi Ligvos Kagavui Dami, that when a person has a Shtar Chov, that he is bringing out against someone to try to collect, the Machzik in the Shtar Chov, let's say the lender, he's already considered a Muchzak, he already has a hold on the possessions of the borrower. Even more than the borrower himself has a hold on those possessions. Now let's go back. This Shomeris Yavam, she had ksuba before she died. So the ksuba is basically a claim. So that's the shtar ha'omid ligvos. And therefore, the shtar ha'omid ligvos kigavui dami. It was gavui from the mace. And when the mace died, it was gavui from the nichse ha'mace that are going to the yavam. Now she dies. So now that hold that she has is gone from is gone. And who gets it? Who gets it is the Yavam, because now he doesn't have to pay out the money. So he's getting money from her. If he's getting money from her, he should have to bury her. It's not, as we learned in the Mishnah, about a sota. Mesuba le'enat shloshasu. Let's say a woman had gone with a man alone, and she had been warned by her husband not to do so. She did it anyway. So the halach is she's supposed to be brought to Bez, and then brought to Yerushalayim, given the mesota to drink, the mayim ma'arim. So if the husbands died before the sotos had a chance to drink, b'shamay omron, b'shamay say notlos ksuba v'lo shosos. They get their ksuba, but they don't have to drink the mayim ma'arim. In other words, even though they don't have to drink, they still are entitled to the ksuba. B'sil omron, b'sil say, Oshosos, either they drink or lo notlos ksuba, or they don't get the ksuba. Asks the Gemara, Oshosos, they either drink, but Pasuk says, Vehevi yishas ishto ala kohen, amarachmana. The husband is to bring his wife to the kohen. Veleka, here there's no husband to bring the wife. Elas, what Beis Hillel are saying, Yitoshel Oshosos, since they can't drink, lo notlos ksuba. They don't get the ksuba. So what do you see? Beishamay omrim, not los ksuba velo shosos, they get the ksuba even though they don't drink. Why could they get a ksuba sveiku? We don't know what happened here. It could be safek zanai. Maybe these women were mezana, and then they shouldn't be entitled to a ksuba safek lo zanai. And it's a safek. Maybe they weren't mezana, then they're entitled to the ksuba. The kaasi safek umotzmi devadai. Here, he's a muzak in the money. Or the yarshi abal or muzakin in the money. Where is her raya that she's entitled to this money? But apparently, Kasari Beis Shammai, since she has a shtar omid ligvos kagavui dami, that it's, since she's holding the shtar, she's already a muchzekas in the nechasim. She's a muchzekas in the property, even more than the Yorshi Abal. So if that's the case, going back to the case of the Shomeres Yavam had a shtar ksuba. Since she had a shtar ksuba, she was muchzekas in the possessions. Now that she died, the Yavam gets all of the possessions. So he's actually getting things from her. So if he's getting things from her, certainly he's the one who has to bury her. Now, this was all according to Beis Shammai. According to Beis Hillel, Abaye had said, we don't say, we're not Dorish Medrash Ksuba. So since we're not Dorish Medrash Ksuba, according to Beis Hillel, it's actually Mamanavshach. We tell the Yavam, listen, you know, if you want to inherit your brother, if you are your brother, then you need to bury her the same way your brother would have had to bury her. And if you don't want to bury her, so then you need to pay her the ksuba. Aiva Bayina, according to Beis Hillel, it's true they don't take the Lashon so seriously, but the Lashon in the end did say, the Lashon of the ksuba, the terminology of the ksuba was Kishatinasi La'acher. When you marry someone else, titli mashakas of lechi, you could take that which is written for you, veleka. And that never had occurred yet. Am Rav Ashi answered, Yavam nami ka'achar dami. According to Beis Hillel, the Yavam is ka'acher. He's somebody else. He's not the husband. And therefore, the chi of ksuba is applicable. Shalach le'rava la'abai. Rava challenged Abai. Yad Rav Shmaya bar Rav Zeira, through asked this question in the hands of Reb Shmaya Bar Zera. Is it true that a ksuba already can be collected when the yavam is still alive? Reb Abba Omer, Reb Abba says, "Shalti Yisumchis." I ask Sumchis. I wrote to Sheyimkar Benichse Achiv. If you have a yavam who wants to sell the possessions of his deceased brother that he inherited, but there's a lien on them for the ksuba ketsiduosa, what does he do? Zim Kohen, who if he's a Kohen, he can't divorce her and remarry her. He should make a big meal for his wife and convince her that she should be mochel, the monies in excess of the ksuba, and let him sell those possessions. Vim Yisraelu, Megarish Beget, he divorced her with a get, pays off the ksuba, and then he can sell the other things, and then Yahzir, then he can remarry her. When he remarries her, he writes her a regular ksuba. Now she's a regular wife, she's not a yavama. Regular wife can't prevent her husband from selling possessions. Now, is al-kadait, if we're going to hold, nitna ksuba ligavos mechayim, that already when the yavam is alive, she can already collect the ksuba because she's about to marry somebody other than her husband. Niyachid la shir ksuba. Why can't he just put aside money for the ksuba? Vashar Lisbon, and let him be able to sell everything else. Because after all, he can pay out the whole ksuba in theory. The etzim, he should be paying out the whole ksuba. But let him just be miyachid the ksuba. So Rava says that apparently since he can't do that because the ksuba hasn't, the obligation hasn't yet been triggered. So the Gemara says back to Rava, v'litameich, if that's your kasha, why are you looking for a braisa? For los v'masnisin, you should have used the Mishnah to ask that question, because the Mishnah said, lo yomer la, the yavam can't tell the yavama, hare ksubaseich munachas lach ala shulchan, here are the possessions for your ksuba on the table. Rather, all the possessions he inherited from his deceased brother have a lien on them to the ksuba. Why can't he identify possessions if he could pay it out? If Be'etzim is really chayev to pay it out, why can't he just delineate possessions? Must be lo nitna ligavos mechayim. So why didn't he ask that question? Because Hatsam, you can say the Mishnah is not saying he can't identify certain possessions and say this is for the ksuba. It's just it's a tova kamashma. It's just giving an advice that he shouldn't do so, because if he would do so, if he loses these possessions, he'd have to give her a new ksuba. So the Gemara says, and that's pakup shot in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is just an etza tova kamashma. Dilo tema hachi. If you're not going to say that it's just an etza tova, but rather it's a din, so then safe. Look at the end of the Mishnah, the Ketani, which says v'chein lo yomar adam leishto. A husband shouldn't tell his wife, here's your ksuba on the table. Here are the possessions for your ksuba. Ella, rather, all of his possessions are responsible for the ksuba of his wife. One second. Are you going to say that a husband can't sell his possessions? Of course he can sell his possessions. Ellis, when it said he shouldn't identify certain possessions, it wasn't saying that he couldn't identify certain possessions. It's just Eitzatova Kamashvalan. Hachanami, here too, Eitzatova Kamashvalan. Ellis, so that's why the Mishnah wasn't a question. Held Reb Abba Kasha. But the question was from the Braisa of Reb Abba. Because there we saw a din that a Yavam couldn't be Miyachid Nechasim, he couldn't identify possessions for Subas Yivimto, in order to enable him to sell the other possessions. And he had to divorce her, right? Because if there's just advice and saying he shouldn't do it, then we wouldn't say he needs to do a divorce, because divorce is actually very humiliating. So he answers the Gemara of the question, Reb Abba Nami Lo Kasha. Reb Abba, it's really not a question. Really, the Yavam could be Miyachit Nechasim for the Ksuba of the Yavama, and then he would be able to use the other Nechasim and sell them. And really, Rabbi Abba is just giving an Eitzah Tova that he shouldn't be Miyachid Nechasim, because if he's Miyachid Nechasim, he's going to create a lot of hatred. She's going to think he's planning to divorce her. That's why better that he should actually divorce her and then remarry her. And then there's no Eva. There's no resentment, because she knows that he did it just in order to take the Shibud off of the Nechasim, so that he should be able to sell them. And therefore, Yavam really could, according to Rava, according to Abaye, Yavam really could be Miyachid Nechasim for the Ksuba, because basically the Ksuba has been triggered in his lifetime, because the Lashon L'Kishitzinasi La'acher is really applicable now, because when she's marrying the Yavam, she is marrying an Acher, somebody else. And now,